So what we're going to talk about today is how to get instant trust, belief, influence, and rapport. And Tom Big Al is he's known, but Tom Schreider is the guy who's a multimillionaire in the networking industry and has been for years. In fact, he's the one that got Jet started. Was our number one income earner for years and years and years in Manitech until he started going into the coffee business a number of years back. He just needed a new thrill. Making all that money was great, but he wanted to go and get a new thrill in his life, so he's in coffee. But Jet was trained by Al Schreider, and, of course, we saw him catapult to making millions of dollars just like Big Al did. And Al's got a lot of great ideas. Some of them are little, I've read a lot of his material. I've gone to his courses and things, and sometimes I think they're just a tad bit outdated, but there's one thing that never goes out of date, and that is how to build rapport with people. I mean, it's the most important thing that we do when we're out there cold marketing, right? I mean, when they're friends of yours, they already know you, they have a likeness, they understand who you are, you got a similarities, you know how to talk to them. But when it's somebody that's new, that's where a lot of us clam up. We don't know what to say. We tend to put the proverbial foot in our mouth, and then all of a sudden we wonder why we're not getting any closings or not even getting appointments booked, right? So the idea is that what do we need to do to get instant trust, belief, influence, and rapport with people? We don't have a lot of time today in terms of, chat time. And so there's a lot of things that, we need an opportunity to say something that instantly relates to somebody and helps build that rapport so that they trust you, they trust what you say, so that they'll meet with you. Or even after you might have a quick, there's a lot of quick like language that people are using to get people to sit down and actually have a meeting with you. And when we call people up, we most of the times when it's friends, again, we have that already established rapport, but when it's a brand new person that we've never met before, it's a different story. So this kind of languaging that I'm talking about today can either apply to just meeting somebody new on the street, in the grocery store, everywhere you go, lifestyle marketing, all of that, or if you're doing other types of marketing through newspaper ads or advertising or Facebook or whatever, the first step would be to intrigue them. And then when you have that first one-on-one conversation, what do you need to kick in? How to get instant trust, belief, influence, and rapport. Because if you don't get it, what happens is you lose the person. And you'll lose the person as fast as you say jackrabbit. Because people don't have time today. We're a society that's so tied into we want things in a moment's notice. And, when I did the research on that, what made us become that kind of society today? Why have we shifted so dramatically in that direction? The number one culprit that most think, people are writing about is our cell phone. Because we have instant access to millions of bits of data. So, and the cell phone has done that for us in an incredible way. So anyway, but whatever it is that triggered that in our society, it is what we have. It is what it is, and we just need to accept it and understand that it exists out there. I don't mean accept that you like it. I just mean accept that it exists so that you don't try to, be a salmon swimming upstream. So the idea here is that we want to be able to build that instant rapport. Now, in his book, he has 13 different ideas and concepts that he develops in terms of creating open minds with people. And one of them is actually a way not to close their mind, which could be a way of helping to create open minds. But, it's not 13 ways to create open minds, but it's 13 concepts that you want to develop when you're out there sharing with people. And again, this is a skill. It's a skill set. And when we talk about network marketing, we talk about what? There are skills involved. And if you don't develop the skills involved, then all the energy and effort you put in, all that work you do is going to effectively be thrown to the wind. And I keep emphasizing that with people because some people say, oh, yeah, I just go out and talk to people. And I go, yeah, that's right. But if there's skills to develop in how to talk to people, that will serve you in huge ways. Because I remember when I started network marketing, I went out there and I thought I was so bright and I had all this intellectual background and I was being a lawyer and I'm, Phi Beta Kappa or to the Kaiva, all the credentials in the world and did so well and everything I ever touched turned to gold. And so all of a sudden if I touch network marketing, I'll turn to gold. And then 6 months later, I had signed up one person. So those of you out there struggling, maybe you learn a lesson from Mary Jo's experience, so you don't fall into the same trap. And that trap is thinking that this is easy. It's easy, but it also is based on skill. So develop the skills. Invest in the time, develop the skills. So let's talk about what he has to offer us today, and I'll share with you some of the aha moments I had in reading this book as well. So the first thing he talked about is, you know, you want to work on, he talked about the decision-making of our body occurs in our subconscious. So it's, we want to relate to that with a person. And so you, it's not just about just spewing things out. It's about how do I relate to their subconscious, because that's where they make their decision. Otherwise, they can readily dismiss it. So the idea is, what causes us to immediately break some of the subconscious barriers that exist? Because inherently, most people, you need to earn their trust. They're not like, and I think that's kind of sad. I'm kind of one of these people. I trust anyone until they prove me wrong, but I find that that nature isn't prevalent in our society today, and I don't think our information age is making it less prevalent. I think it is making it less prevalent because we are less interactive with people. So then we have even less trust, immediate trust with people. But the idea is, he said that to build instant rapport and connection with our prospects, one of the subconscious programs that we have all running for ourselves goes like this. I can trust people who are like me, who think the same way, who see the world from the same viewpoint. Right? And that's pretty well true of where we are today. Now, that reflects a lot of judgment on our part, but we have judgment. I mean, you can just look in the world, in the political realm, and you can say, you know, if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, especially some of the things that go around today, it's, if you're a Democrat, it's probably easier for you to work with other Democrats. If you're a Republican, it's probably easier for you to work with other Republicans, because the minute you find out somebody doesn't have your political beliefs, especially if you're like in the state of Texas, you know, I mean, you might be annihilated by the other people, because they really are that adamant and that strong belief that all of a sudden they don't trust you or believe you because you don't see the world in the same color that they see the world. So it causes a loss right out of the box. So acknowledging that, of course, that tells you, number one, you don't talk about, you know, those kind of hot topics. You keep those out of your conversation with people. But you also are trying to find then what? You're trying to find something that you have similarity with the person. And so when you talk to a prospect, if you're talking about something like health, and you want to bring up health in a conversation with somebody, you want to use something that, as an opening statement, that you pretty much are assured they're going to agree with. And like, we all want to live longer. I gave you a bunch of examples that came right out of his book because I think they could potentially fit. Of course, I didn't give you all of them, or I would have duplicated this book for you. But the idea is, everyone wants to be fit. Everybody needs more energy, things like that. And here's a concept: skincare. I gave you a bunch there. Our face is our first impression. I love that one. I'd never heard that before. Our face is our first impression. So those of you out there, you know, marketing youth, you might think about that line. Smart people make their skin younger while they sleep. That's another great one. No one wants their face to look older than they are, right? Yeah. Business opportunity: a job interferes with our week. Two paychecks are better than one. Most moms want to stay at home with their young kids. Being our own boss gives us freedom. A five-day weekend is better than a two-day weekend, right? Those are kind of cute things that you can use, but you can come up with your own. But those, you know, most people, if you say those kind of things to them, they're going to be in agreement with you, right? And what if somebody, I want to bring this up too, what if somebody immediately disagrees? What if you start developing this language, which is great languaging to kick off a conversation when you're meeting somebody, and somebody disagrees with you on what you say? Did you already lose them? No. Here's what, you know, I started thinking about that too when I was reading through this. I said, well, what if somebody disagrees with that? Well, then they're going to probably tell you what their opinion is. And then what you want to do is you want to say, really? I said, so what causes you to believe that? So now develop the conversation and say, wow, I can really understand why you think that way. And that's great. Now, what have I just done? I've just taken a disagreement and made it into a similarity, because now I'm agreeing with them. I don't have to necessarily agree with what they believe. I can say, wow, I can really see how you feel that way and how that's, you know, that's what you believe. You know, it's a, you can still reinforce and draw a similarity in an agreement, a belief, but it, you want to pursue it to make it something that becomes like-mindedness. Got it? You want to establish that. Now, here's where I felt I have been falling short, perhaps. Not that I have not been effective, but perhaps I'm losing some people that I might have been able to sign up or get to the next step, is I am an avid reader, as you all know, and I love new information. I research millennials. I research what's happening in the direct selling marketplace. I want to know all the new statistics coming up. I want to keep on top of what's going on, because it's not that I spend a half a day doing that. I might spend on a total of maybe an hour a week, or maybe 2 hours a week, just research, stuff like that, right? Because it's important to me, and I know I waste an hour or 2 hours easily just doing silly things, so I'd rather spend it supporting myself and being better at what, and having more information, more correct data. But here's the funny thing about what I recognized when I was going through this share a fact you both agree on. When I'm out there trying to impress people with the knowledge I have about what current information says, what am I doing? Am I building rapport because people trust me, who are like me, they think the same way, who see the world from the same viewpoint? Or does it become a little intimidating to people when you're so smart and you know everything that just is brand new, or hot off the press? Do you notice the difference? So I'm going to back off my position a little bit, and rather sounding so smart, that maybe what would be great would be to tack on the smart I have to something that is everybody knows or everybody can find a similarity with. Does that make sense? So when I talk about that, you know, a job gets in the way of, I can add the fact, and, you know, I recently read that 80% of, you know, a government statistic that told us that 80% of people really don't like their jobs. And then see if they agree, you follow? So I can use my statistics, but only as a support system to something that is a fact that we feel more confident will be more agreeable to most, instead of being the person that always knows it all or knows the hottest information off the press. So because, you know, I thought about the attitude somebody else might take versus sounding so smart and like I'm well read. I don't want to intimidate the other person. So just a thought for those of you who might deal in the same realm or think about that. A second issue for Al was, of his 13 issues, he's talked about pacing. And many of us have learned this in the past, but again, you know, being trained one more time never hurts. Because we get so I get so excited when I talk to people. Sometimes I go, I just outpace myself. I talk, especially in the South. I'm from Wisconsin, but I've been living in Texas for years and years. And people tend to tell me to slow down, and they're absolutely right, because in the South, in fact, one of the examples in his book was, now if you're from the North and you travel to Texas, watch out. You know, it really was funny. And I said, yeah, I agree with that. People talk and communicate at a different pace. And that's a regional thing. And it's also something you want to be aware of from a personal perspective. When you ask people questions and find their pace, where do you want to go? You want to join them at their pace, not run at your pace. Now, this is different for a presenter, you know, when you're in front of a room of 100 people. But if you're presenting in Texas, it should look a little different than if you're presenting in Wisconsin, because you have different paces, right? So this, again, suggestion to create the best possible results. So how do we know if somebody's a think and talk fast person or if they're a think and talk slowly person? We listen to them. We ask them some questions, and then we hear what they say and how they respond. Now, you probably just noticed in my conversation today how I've just changed paces in this training. And that is something, no matter what our ilk is, we have the option to shift. It just takes a little discipline and recognition. And then we can shift to meet someone else's pace and will be much more effective if we're in alignment with their pace. Third point was sharing one fact with somebody that is allows you to break through the trust factor because they see the world the same way or have the same viewpoint. What Al Schreiter said, if you can put two of them together back to back, you're going to put your prospect into a deep hypnotic trance. In other words, you'll have him. There's no way he's coming back because you've got him. Now you've got him in your grasp. You got it. You have totally got him on board with you. And so because the idea is a message inside our head to get into their head. So if we can develop that rapport and actually put them in this quote-unquote trance, as he said, calls it in the book, then it's a slam dunk. But what have two fact statements look like? Well, you basically can take the facts that were shared under number one, the first section of the outline, and just add a second to it. Our health is our best possession. We want to keep it as long as we can. Growing old is inevitable, but we can feel as young as we choose. Right? These are kind of things we could grow. Growing old is painful. We all want to look younger. Then all we're doing is adding two facts to get them on board, and now they're all in. If you're sharing the business opportunity, the economy is in the toilet, so raises are going to be hard to come by. Jobs interfere with our week. We can't get ahead by making our bosses' dreams come true. Some of my friends feel they're on a hamster wheel. I get it. Work, 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 and never get ahead. Get it? So you can sort of, and skincare, your face is your first impression. You want to wow people with your look, right? So you add two things, and that's even more impactful than one fact. So just know that you're doubling down on the first point by sharing two facts. A fourth concept was smile. And I have absolutely no problem with that, but I know some people do. They are living in their past or living in what happened an hour ago or maybe 5 seconds ago when they stubbed their toe. So sometimes it's hard for us to smile. But I had the joy of being at a funeral over the last 4 days, as you guys know. And I'm telling you, I probably spent 75% of the time, 80% of the time smiling because it still is, as sad as it can be, it still is not going to rob me of my joy because my joy comes from another source. And the idea that I want to light up other people's worlds, and that's what I'm here to do. So expressing joy and smiling is unquestionably a way to attract people. Now, some of you might get, oh, you know, I have these people that they, whenever I smile, they just want to run the other direction because they're so negative and they're so, you know, caught up and wrought up. And I go, and they go, so Mary Jo, how effective am I going to be with those people if I smile? I'll just upset them. And I look at them and I go, well, let's start with a basic premise. If you're out there doing network marketing and you're trying to find people to join you in your business, are those the people you want in your business? Because if that's the kind of people you want to go after to join you, then I'm going to suggest you better build in about a 6-month time period for them to go through some heavy-duty self-development so they're even people you want to associate with and be around, right? Would you rather be around happy, joyful people or people who are miserable? Choice. Cynical choice, right? Are they out there? Absolutely. Absolutely. I challenge you, when you don't like the idea of smiling because you think it upsets people that are hurting or this or that or cynical or negative, well, the cynical negative people are people that I don't know that you want them in your business to start with because they're not going to be very good at doing this business if they're cynical and negative. So look for the joyful people. Look for people who believe they can create a better world because some of those cynical negative people are the same ones, when you mention M5M, they look at you and say, why would you ever want to help save those kids anyway? I've had that comment be made to me, and it just floors me, no end, because perhaps become the Christian perspective, God created all of us in his image, and that means we leave no one behind, right? And that's how I look at it. So anyway, so we want to smile. A smile is one of your greatest rapport and communication tools you have. And it just, because it cuts through a lot of stuff, and people tend, on the average, people will prefer being around people joyful than they will people who are negative. Form as a concept, I put this in here as a separate item because we all learned family, occupation, recreation, motivation, how to break the rapport and ask questions. And if you've been to any Al Schreiter's trainings, you know he's kind of adamant about, hey, get to the point. He doesn't like all the and what's so intriguing to me is that when I first heard him talk about, you know, staying away from form and all that kind of stuff, he said, but form is such a great tool because it really helps people think of questions to ask, appropriate questions, and it helps lead and guide deck people that might be shy and haven't been in the business of asking questions or interacting with people, just stepping up and start doing that. It gives them something to rest upon. And I still think form does that for people. But the problem with form, and I totally agree with Al on this, is that it's kind of an ancient way of building rapport, ancient from a perspective that how much time do we really have in that grocery store or in the post office line to build rapport with a person? I mean, some of those areas we have less than a minute. And if you think that you're going to rely on form, you don't have the time to do all that. It's not available to you. People are fast-paced today. They want to go in and out. They want to get immediate information, all these kind of, right? Do you notice that? So really what he's talking about when he talks about one or two facts that people agree on so you can break through that trust factor right out of the box, you know, form, you can find out information about a person, but I'm not sure you're going to, they're going to still be looking at you wondering why you want all this information, right? So I think that he's right, that form is something that's a little antiquated today. It's hard to use unless you're in a setting where maybe you're sitting down in chairs at a event and somebody's just, you know, not feeling well or sitting by themselves and you just go over there to make conversation. And your plan is that you have 5 to 10 minutes with them. Then it's different. Again, recognize the time element you have and stick with things that work in a quicker format because, again, we're a fast-paced society. We have tons of bits of information that hit us every moment, and that's why we like to make decisions quickly, which is great for our business, but it also can cause us to be problematic if we try to elongate the process, right? So form, F-O-R-M, is no longer something recommended. Certain words and phrases will automate programs inside your prospects' heads. So we have to understand we're dealing with head, right? We're dealing with what's in their head. One of our major programs that human beings have is called the survival mechanism, our survival program. We're born with it. What causes us to flee and our adrenaline to take off when a lion races after us. I mean, there are a lot of absolute spontaneous reactions we have based on survival instinct. But survival instinct also has a problem with it in that it causes us to somewhat be skeptical. We can be skeptical because it's a way of self-protection. So acknowledging that, how do we break down some of this survival programming that's going on? And he says we use magic words. One of the phraseologies that's used is the terminology most people, because everybody knows or everybody says work is, you know, or everybody knows or everybody says, that's another one. Most people or everybody knows or everybody says, there's three virtually identical, clauses that you can use. And why does something like that work? Well, because our survival instinct causes us to want to stay within a group. We don't want to separate ourselves. We don't want to go out on a stick. That's why a lot of people don't join you in network marketing, because they don't want to go away from the norm. But as we know statistically today, direct sales is growing faster than retail. We have 96 million people in this world doing direct sales. It's no longer an aberration. It's now kind of mainstay. It's you know, Main Street America is direct sales today. So it's a little bit different. It has a lot more acceptance, and the people that come across that don't see that, that's a chance for you to do a little education as well. But statistically, but again, remember, statistics give you a little sense of arrogance, you know more than they do, whereas we're trying here to build rapport. So we want to find things that we agree on. But the idea of saying most people or everybody knows, that helps us think that we're part of a group. So it gets us out of that instinct to not be singled out or singularly following a path of no return. We want to stay within a group. It protects us. So using like 4 out of 5 dentists recommend. That's why people use those statistics in marketing, right? 4 out of 5 dentists recommend. Everybody goes, okay, I'm jumping on board. Examples for our presentations might be most people hate their jobs. This is where I added the government statistics ranked this as high as 80% of people don't like their job. Most people need more money. Most people would prefer being their own boss. Most people would love to work 2 weeks per month and get paid for 4. Most moms want more time with their children. Most women would love to look younger. See, all of these things, you notice all of them latch onto people and allow them to move out of survival mode into, wow, I agree with that because I'm like most people, right? That's part of a group. I'm part of a group. So we try to bring in language that makes them feel like part of a group. It's another, when I read this language too, I thought of myself about when I talk to people about how we do the business, I always talk about the team we have and what a great team. And why is that? It's part of a group. Again, it hits that psychology of not feeling like you're a solo person out there. So we can, that same concept applies to how we describe we do this business as well, right? So most people, most moms, most people, everybody knows, everybody says, those are the kind of great languaging. Simply command the subconscious mind of your prospect to instantly believe what you say next will within just 2 words. That's when you tie in the everybody knows. Everybody knows our foods aren't as nutritious today as they were in the past. It's a great statement. You get how it, yeah, everybody agrees with it. Everybody says we don't have time to cook healthy. Every grandmother knows their grandchildren eat too much junk food. Everyone says they want to retire early, right? Everyone knows 2 paychecks are better than 1. Notice how they're just statements of fact that everybody agrees on, and now all of a sudden they're in camaraderie and they're out of that survival concept and that concept of, you know, skepticism, and they feel like they're part of a big group. They're on board. Yeah, I can agree with that. And that's a lot of times why salespeople go, you get them to agree to enough things you say and they'll agree. Yes, yes, yes. As you do a presentation, that's why even when I talk about the saccharides or I do a presentation about Ambertose or Nutriverse or M5M, I just get people to agree with me as I go along. I ask questions that I know they're going to say yes to, because when they get into that agreeable mode, guess what? Their survival instinct is gone. They're now part of the group. And when I get to the bottom line about signing up, they agree again to sign up because they're in the agree mode, right? Okay. All of these phrases bypass skepticism, negative past experiences, too good to be true, and what's the catch? So that's how you get around it. So if you're hearing people say these things to you about, you know, negative past experiences or what's the catch, just know that, you know, you haven't gotten beyond their survival patterning. Overcoming the program, prove yourself. Magic words would be, well, you know how. The subconscious immediately responds, well, if I already know how, then it must be true because what I know is true. Got it? That's what your subconscious does. So when you use the language, well, you know how we all want killer immune systems so nothing takes us out? People go, yeah, 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 get it? Well, I already know that, because you told me we already know that, so it must be true. Well, you know how we hate being sick? Well, you know how we all want to protect our children from all those viruses at school? Well, you know how we would love to set our own hours? Well, you know how we would all like to never have to go to work again? All of these are ways we can say the languaging that causes them to unguard, because now they know that they know. All you're doing is reaffirming that what they know is true, so what you know is true, and all of a sudden you have a what? I'm in agreement with you. We think the same way. We have the same worldview, right? At least about that one topic, perhaps, but you get it? That's what you're doing. Next magic words that come out is to help your boss believe that it must be true. Another great saying is there's an old saying. And you can what goes on in the subconscious mind is when you say there's an old saying, the subconscious goes, well, if there's an old saying, then it must be true. It's just how our subconscious mind works. And again, you're playing to that subconscious mind when you're meeting somebody and trying to break the ice and build rapport. So examples would be, there's an old saying that wrinkles belong on prunes, not on us. I think that's hilarious. I love that one too, because that's great for marketing youth. There's an old saying that wrinkles give you character, but not much more. I'd never heard that one either. There's an old saying that working a job allows your boss to live his dreams. Working for yourself allows you to live yours. There's an old saying that smart people look for opportunity. There's an old saying that the reward from graduating from university is 45 years of hard labor, right? Yeah, so any of those. But again, using just the magic words are what? There's an old saying. Finally, turn off the salesman alarm with this phrase. People are programmed to be wary of salesmen. Nobody likes to be sold, right? But everybody likes to buy. So if you put the control of the information flow in the hands of your prospect, then you are all of a sudden, the salesman approach goes out the window. When you ask questions and they answer them, then you are doing the buying, not them. So as soon as possible, in your conversation with them, you would like to ask them questions. And something you might say is, what would you like to know first? I mean, if you do get into the glycobiology, you say, sure, what would you like to know first? Now, you're not selling them anything. You're what? You're buying. So see how that shift is. That's an intriguing one for me, and I've yet to use this one, but I'm highlighting it in my outline because it's something I want to use with people. So it's great. What would you like to know first? Great language. Okay, another way to build rapport is giving people a sincere compliment. And I want you to highlight the word sincere, because too much of what we do in complimenting sounds insincere. We just throw something out there. So some of them, you seem like a very intelligent person. I mean, I find that self-serving when people say that to me. They hardly know me, so how can I seem like an intelligent person? So I really, it's degrading to me. I don't like it. It's self-serving. It's denigrating. It's like manipulative. And boy, if you want to turn Mary Jo off, just say that to her. We think we're giving somebody a compliment, but we could be shutting them down like a steel trap. So be careful with that. I like the way you dress. When people say that to me, I know they're just funning, because I don't really take much time and energy into the way I dress. So you got to be careful with that too, superficial, because some people know that they just aren't very good dressers because they don't care about it, right? It's not a priority in their life. So you got to be careful with language that's superficial compliments. Other examples that you can't use are things like, I like that silk scarf. Where did you buy it? You're always smiling. Where do you find that energy with four kids and a husband to take care of? I see you subscribe to Business Weekly. How long have you subscribed? All of these are compliments. They're compliments. But also notice that after the compliment, they ask a question. And what that is it takes all the pressure off the prospect with thanking you for the compliment you made. And it focuses, again, the conversation goes to them, right? So it's kind of like two birds with one stone. You can accomplish that by putting the question at the end. You not only have a great compliment that you've given, but you also take them off pressure. So, and they are in the responsive mode, so now you get more information about them. All right? 8, get your prospect to talk about themselves immediately. And, of course, that's something we've done for years. We love to get other people to talk about themselves. So how do we do that? By asking questions. Dale Carnegie established this in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and hopefully the majority of you have read that book. It's a great one for this business. Once you get your prospect to talk about his ideas, dreams, goals, and problems, he will feel more comfortable with you because now he's shared some intimate things about his own life. And just the fact that he's sharing them tells you he feels more comfortable. Once you know them, he'll even feel more comfortable. Because now, as long as you keep them in conversation, in other words, you don't dismiss them and just kind of like toss them out in one ear, out the other, and people can read that as well, but you store the data and you use it throughout the conversation. Wow. Talk about incredibly impactful. Because the person will walk away thinking, they really care about me. Whether it's true or not, because I don't know if you care about the person, only you know. But the idea that you can pick up information from somebody by asking them the questions about themselves, they're talking about themselves, and you use that same data throughout the conversation, that is awesome. It is number one in my book, And I love it. I love to store the data and use it. I use it, you know, when I email people. I always, whenever I take down, I even teach and train my people when they're out collecting cards. On the back of the card, always write something very personal about the person. Find out information about them so it can be a personal interaction when you get back in touch with them. That's what I do. I suggest it highly with everybody. It's great. And then I gave a series of questions that came out of a book. Have you lived here long? Where did you see them? What made you interested in Manitech? You know, if they should express some interest. How long have you known John? What would you do with a lot more free time if you had it? You know, those kind of questions. They're great, right? And you can always ask, it's not one of my first questions. If you had unlimited income, what would you be doing today? That's not a bad question, but make sure it's put in the right perspective in terms of your conversation with people. Because if you ask it right out of the box, what have you done? You forgot to build the rapport. You forgot to build the trust. So if they don't trust you and you're asking them about how they spend their money, oh, boy, I'm telling you, it was a double down by you. You just destroyed it in two ways. No rapport, and now they're wondering why you're after their money, right? See? So be careful. Make sure that rapport comes first. And the ninth one here is one common question that might ruin rapport, which is important for us to understand, is the word why. If you ask why, you become an interrogator. You also, it carries a lot of other baggage with it, because remember as a little kid when we did something wrong, our parents said, why did you do that? So the why as a question has almost got a little irritant built into it. It's a little acidic in and of itself. So if somebody chose to pursue a certain field, you go, well, what was it about the field that really attracted you? Not why did you choose this field? What was it about accounting that really attracted you? What was it about dress designing that really attracted you to that field? You follow? You want to know, but use a softer word, right? So the word would not be why. Good heads up on that. So what I did on the bottom of the last page of the outline was just gave you those 13 things that he kind of developed in his book, which now I've developed in the outline, so you have all of them. And they're all there for you to step into, learn, grow with, start utilizing. Pick a couple. My suggestion to you is don't try to tackle this all in one time, but pick a couple that really might make a difference for you. I did in reading the book and I did in doing the outline. There are a couple things that really were really, in fact, there are more than a couple, so I plan on going back to it. But start using some of these concepts because, again, building rapport is a skill to be developed. It's not something that just comes naturally. So go out there and use these tools to be more skillful. And even if you think you're skillful, as I did, I just learned so much more about how better I could be in relating to people through this outline and this book. So that's it, people. That's all I have for today. Anyone have any questions, comments? Anyone find some things here that you went, wow, I don't do that. That would be awesome. Or is everybody out there building phenomenal rapport and this book was just written for Mary Jo? You tell me. Anyone want to share?
Yes, I will.
Okay, Anita. Yeah, what's up, Dow? So,
well, I was listening and I thought, you know, sometimes I've wondered, well, why did that person not seem very warm to me?
Yeah.
And I think maybe sometimes I love to hear about people, but maybe I ask the question in the right way to make them comfortable sometimes.
Uh-huh. Good.
And I don't know, there were a lot of little tidbits I could say, oh, boy, that's a different way to look at that. Yeah. And it will be very helpful.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anita. Absolutely. Because, again, and you appreciate it because you know that when you're out there and you're breaking the ice with somebody, when you don't build rapport, it's a real downer. It's like, what did I do wrong, right? So you want to know there must be another way to, you know, transition or move forward with people.
And
anyone else? Yeah.
Put another little thing asterisk by one. I was so taken aback. I try to go to church most days,
uh-huh.
But when I'm gone, of course, I'm missing. And when I came back, this gal said, Oh, thank heaven you're back. Now I get my smile today.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
I never realized that.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect.
Smiling,
what you want to do.
Is, I think, really important.
It's huge. It's huge. It's huge, especially in our world. If you don't believe it's huge, I want you to go out today and just on a sheet of paper, just spend your day wherever you end up going. Not, you don't have to go anywhere special, just wherever you go. And just note how many people smile when you make eye contact. Or when you're looking, or even if you're not making eye contact, just looking at people. And when you come home, look at that sheet of paper and know that you probably came across 100, 200 people, and whatever you wrote down was the number that actually smiled. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Anyone else?
Silence.
Yep.
That was a great call.
Good.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
You threw out a lot of information. If we can get maybe 5 to 10 of those in our brain, that we're
right.
Using, and it was excellent. It was really
thank
excellent.
You, doll.
So,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank
yeah.
You.
I think it is. It's just, and you know, the fun part of it too is that it doesn't. I've been around this business for I don't know. I've been in Mammatech 18 years now, and if I can have so much joy learning about these things and seeing how I can shift, I'm sure all of us probably can get some value from this. I'm prayerful
right.
that will happen. Yeah.
Exactly. I listened to Phil Peters talking on both call on Saturday, and he was talking about that. Keep learning something new. Keep educating yourself. Keep improving. You know, that's all part of goal setting in a sense, you know, in terms of making ourselves even better and better. And it's just never ending. It's exciting to learn something new like this every day. So if everybody committed to, like, two of those things that bounced out of them and they memorize them.
Right.
And they start practicing them, and then maybe two more, you know, give yourself a week or something and then do two more. I mean, because,
right.
you know, you threw out mm-hmm. a lot of stuff, and a lot of people could probably say to themselves, oh, my gosh, how can I remember all of that?
Oh, no, exactly, silence. It's not about grabbing it all today. It's about picking on something that really hit home for you. You know,
exactly.
one of us have a couple that just went, jumped out off the paper or out of the talk and said, golly,
exactly.
I got to take on that, right?
I'm going to recommend my whole team listen to this call, so thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, silence. Thanks. Anyone else?
Valerie, you know, Mary Jo, can't see where to vote for the direct top selling company on that website that you sent.
The website, it didn't have it. Lydia is the one that puts the attachments on that. So all you did was copy paste it off the outline, and you can't find.
I just hit it, and it's just talking about the top direct sellers in the industry.
And it doesn't have a place to vote.
Well, maybe I missed it, but I looked everywhere very carefully.
Well, you know what? Lydia's out right now. She just had to run over to Mammatech. So what I'm going to do when she gets back, I'll just send a new email out to everybody on the everybody who gets the outline. Guess what? You're going to get an email. We'll clarify that because we sure want you to vote, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
Kathy Martz here. I just really appreciated. I love the magic words. Most people you know how. And there's an old saying that all made sense. I really appreciate it. Got my book back out to reread it. So anyway,
there you go. Yeah. So you actually have this book in your library, huh?
Of course, I read the whole thing. It's all starred and underlined. But you know what? one time doesn't change. As Leonie says, you have to read, apply, right?
Absolute girl, absolute. I mean, if I think about myself, and I think, you know, because you know how much I read, probably, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 books a month, right? If all that information I would have absorbed and used every day, I'd be like a quadruple platinum today. But what happens is it comes in, and the next day something else happens, and guess what? You know, it's hard. But we need to discipline ourselves, especially around just – that's why I always tell people, pick up 2 or 3 things out of this call to highlight them, and just, like Silence said, just focus on those for a few days until they become a part of your languaging, and then go back and pick on another. It's just about – retraining ourselves. So it's not just hearing and listening to Mary Jo or reading a book. It's about, okay, grab a couple and then implementing it every day to discipline it till it becomes a habit. It gets back to that building habits, better habits, right?
I appreciated the pictures at the end, the 13 short, quick reminders. That's awesome.
Yeah, those are good, huh? I saw that at the end of the book, and I said, we got to slap that on the outline because that gives you the visual of all the things that we talked about. Absolute visual. Perfect. There's a lot of visual learners out there. I get that, too. Yeah. All right, guys, love you all. Let's go out there and make a better day today and just keep praying for Jason Lester and making it through that run. I really have him, lift him high every day because I know it just amazes me. I'm going to run that 5K on October 25th, and I can't even begin to fathom running that. I'm working out every day. I've got another trainer, and here's a guy doing a marathon a day. Okay. I feel a little silly, but I'm doing my part, and hopefully all you guys step up, and if we can just really create an incredible result for him on his home run stretch, each one of us look at it, hey, this is our home, we're all in this together. Okay, everybody, love you. Thanks. Bye.